Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You either do it the easy way or the hard way. You could go to court, and maybe that day the judge hates men. So guess what? You're going to lean towards me. Or maybe that day the judge hates women. They'll lean towards you. But you're not going to know. And you're going to have somebody else decide.
D-I-V-O-R-C-E-P-A-R-T-Y. Thank you so much for listening to Divorce Party. We really appreciate it. If you like this podcast, we'd love it if you could leave us 5 stars on Spotify Podcasts or Apple Podcasts. And if you want to see our lovely faces, we do have a YouTube channel where you can watch the episodes, and be sure to like and subscribe and follow us on Instagram at Divorce Party Podcast.
You're listening to Divorce Party with Monica Casey and Tom Arnold. Our guest today is not only a friend, but she's an amazing psychotherapist. She used to be the head of mental health for the New York Jets, and she's also created her own type of therapy called eudaimonia psychology. It utilizes a holistic approach to therapy, combining traditional psychotherapy with cognitive behavioral therapy, positive psychology, energy work, and a life coaching component. Thank you so much for joining us today. Please welcome Dr. Donna.
Hi.
Hello, Dr. Donna.
Oh my
God. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to start asking you, I always love to ask somebody who is in the therapy business, what sparked your interest? What led you to becoming are you a psychologist or a therapist?
So I'm a psychotherapist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't prescribe medicine. And I do telehealth. I've been doing it for over 30 years. And I actually have a book, Game On, which actually chronicles how I got into this, because I originally wanted to be an attorney. And I went to take the LSATs 3 times. And for some reason, they didn't have them. There was a flood, whatever. Then I decided to go and be an English professor. I was going to do that. And I was going to write the next best Gone with the Wind novel. And when I went to Hofstra University to... because I had a bachelor's degree. So when I went to Hofstra to get into their English program, they said, you don't have enough classes. You have to take 2 English classes. So I went to community school to take the 2 English classes. And the minute I got up to the table, they told me they were closed. So I walked to the parking lot and I looked up to the sky and I said, okay, you don't want me to be an attorney, because I was going to be an attorney and fight for women's rights. You don't want me to be an attorney. You don't want me to be an English professor. I don't know what you want me to be. And I went home. And in the mail, Hofstra sent me a letter stating that they're sorry. We're sorry we couldn't put you in the English education department, but you have so many psychology courses from your bachelor's. We can put you in the counseling ed program. It was never my intention to be a therapist. Never. At the time, I had 3 kids. And they were young, and I said, oh, this will work, because being an attorney is a lot of hours, right? And I would have the same schedule as they had. So that's really what brought me. I started out as a school counselor. And then I became an administrator. And then I happened to be at a coffee shop, and I had become a hypnotherapist, and I had become a substance abuse counselor.
Mm.
Okay. Because I graduated in December, I couldn't get a job. So I graduated in December. What was I going to do? So I took those two courses, and then I did get a counseling job. And then I saw, this was in the 90s, a newspaper article in Starbucks. And it said that Parcells couldn't get their team to focus. Bill Parcells couldn't get the Jets. So being a hypnotherapist, I said, I could do that. I could focus your team. And I became the first mental health clinician for an NFL team in the 90s.
Wow.
Okay, amazing. So
doing that, then I decided that I was going to make a TV show. Like, I don't know where I get this from. I'm going to create a TV show about my work with the NFL. And I did. I got A Necessary Roughness, which was on USA Network. And I did it.
Oh, yeah.
And I did it without an agent or a manager.
Wow.
I was with them for 6 seasons, and they went to the playoffs. I think, yeah, I brought them to the playoffs. Bill thinks he brought them to the playoffs. I think we both brought them to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But anyway, so actually that's how I got into therapy. And then when I did Necessary Roughness, that's how I met Jeff.
Yes.
Then I became his on-air therapist.
Oh my gosh.
And then the rest, you kind of know.
Well, I think it's you've got such a wide swath of your education. You know, you got the chemical dependency stuff, which is really good to have. You know, yes. I think of someone in recovery, but to understand a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and psychotherapy, you know, that's the best thing, I think. What I found is a lot of people don't do that, and certainly recommend that other people do it. But my experience is all of that has been helpful to me. And mm-hmm. So I think if you're in a divorce or you're some kind of life thing, it's not a sign of weakness to deal with those things. In fact, it kind of helps you win because you get through it. That's just my theory.
And I think that you're right. And I think that everybody can use therapy. I mean, you know, as a matter of fact, Necessary Roughness won the Voice Award in the industry for mental health awareness. Yeah. And it really helped people with their lives. I mean, everybody needs therapy. But I think that we have this feeling that you're mentally ill if you go to a therapist. No, you may feel stuck, confused. I get a lot of people that come in and say, I'm broken, especially after a divorce. I'm broken. You're not broken. You're confused. That's why you're confused. And I know, Monica, I mentioned to you that I got a divorce. Tommy, you ready? For $500. $500 and my ex $500.
You win, ladies. Oh, you win. God.
I got this.
Okay, so I have a couple questions about your marriage and your divorce. So how old were you when you got married?
I was 15 years old when I met my ex, and he was 17. So we have a high school sweethearts. And I got married very young. I had just turned 20, and I had a baby right away. Mm-hmm. So I had, by the age of 27, I had 3 kids. The marriage was rocky. You know, it was rocky. We were separated. And so I was married for 35 years. We were separated for a year and a half in the middle of
it. Wait, did you just say 35 years? Oh my God. First of all, you look too young to have been married for 35 years.
Thank you. But yeah, I was married for 35 years. And okay, so what contributed to that? Number one, I am a therapist. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, you're not supposed to therapize yourself, you know, I knew my opponent very well. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to annihilate him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to annihilate him. I just wanted out. Now, the tricky part was I call him a baby narcissist. Like, he was a baby, you know, but he was the altruistic narcissist. I'm going to do something for everybody and I'm going to look so great. That's narcissism. Mm-hmm. But I knew my opponent. I didn't want to annihilate him. We logistically were already in two separate places. I was in California doing a TV show and he was in New York. He had a big business going on in the garment industry. Okay. So
We were already logistically separated. My children were adult children. So they were not, you know, we weren't fighting over custody. But I will tell you, the issues with adult children is that adult children have opinions that they share. And, you know, that hurts your feelings. So, but we didn't have that custody issue. Also, two, timing was perfect. Because of the fact that I was married so young, his business was developed when I was with him. So 50% of that is mine.
Mm-hmm.
Also, too, I was in between TV, you know, episode, the season's getting picked up. So I actually was unemployed. So when he came after me, I was unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Also, too, you know, he did this thing where he would put his toys in my name. So whoever has the title of the car or the boat or the house, that's who owns it. So when he went to come after me, I said, well, I'm going to have to sell your beautiful Mazda that you got sitting over there that's your pride and joy. And he almost lost his mind. I said, well, because I'm going to have to pay the attorney. So either we can do this the easy way or we could do this the hard way. And I said, all the people I work with couples all the time. You either do it the easy way or the hard way. You could go to court, and maybe that day the judge hates men. So guess what? You're going to lean towards me. Or maybe that day the judge hates women. They'll lean towards you. But you're not going to know. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have somebody else decide. Right? So I was able, I knew my opponent. He kind of put himself in this awkward situation because I had keys that I knew he wanted. And I wasn't out to annihilate him.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted out. You keep your stuff. I keep my stuff. Have a nice day. And I had an attorney who was a friend, and I actually filed. I went online, downloaded the paperwork, filled it out, had my girlfriend who was an attorney look it over, and I filed. Now, was it painful? Yeah, you're not with somebody for 35 years and not pain, you know? Mm-hmm. Did the family suffer? Yes, even with adult children, you know, things change. But the whole idea, this is what I say, like, be fair, because the only person that's making money here are these attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that's how I was able to do it for $500. And, you know, we didn't fight over much. I mean, we had money, we had houses, we had a whole bunch of businesses. Mm-hmm. You know what we fought over? An 18-inch skillet. Mm-hmm. I wanted the skillet. He wanted the skillet. It was hard to get this particular skillet. That's what we fought over. And
oh,
that's
my
what
gosh.
I have couples that fight over a green ammunition bag that costs $39. I'm like, I will buy you a $100 ammunition bag. You know, I mean, like, what are you fighting over? You know?
Yeah.
And I think if it's a hurt person, hurt people, that's what hurt people do. You can go through mediation. If you have one of your partners that has a personality disorder, that's who's winding up in court.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I actually have stats for you. I have stats for you. 50% of couples divorce via mediation, some type of alternative dispute resolution method. 50%. Mm-hmm. 86% who have attorneys never go to court.
Mm-hmm.
And 14% of people that are divorcing are the ones that wind up in court.
That's interesting. If the other person has a personality disorder, well, you're going to, it's just hard to see that until you've been in court 30 times. Or then you go, oh yeah, this is never going to end. This is going to continue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you say to yourself, let's use common sense. There's kids involved. It's money. The only person people make money, but there are people that don't care. Like they are, it's their thing. Like you can use logic and reason. And the judge could use logic and reason, and then they could lose again and again, but then they immediately come back. They immediately are, you know, and in my case, I thought it'd be easy because there was no prenup. You know, I'd put the house in her name, and, you know, as far as the stuff, I said, take everything you want out of the house. And see, it took down the chandeliers, but I was like, what? It just to keep this thing moving. And so I felt like that was the big, okay, well, this is going to be easy now because you got that out of the way. But then it becomes about, you know, everything else. And, you know, there's nothing. What would you recommend for someone that is in a 7-year custody mediation thing? What do you say to a person that goes and looks at it and you see what it is? You recognize it. How do they handle it except hiring more lawyers for, you know, to defend stuff? Is there a way that you would recommend, you know, number one, is there anything I could do psychologically besides try to take care of myself and my kids? And is there anything, or do you just surrender? This is how it's going to be forever.
Okay. So the idea is to surrender without giving up. Okay.
Yeah.
This is who she is, you know, and I consult with attorneys and judges in regard to these personality disorders, right? If first of all, does she work?
I think so. Yeah, she does. She has
Okay, so a couple of things are going on. Either it's her way to stay connected to you. Either she wants to annihilate you. You know, if she is a narcissist or a sociopath or a psychopath, I mean, they want to annihilate you. They're out to destroy you. And they won't stop. And let me tell you the difference. A sociopath, a psychopath is somebody who will kill you.
Yeah.
The sociopath will convince the psychopath to kill you. The sociopath will not kill. And every sociopath is a narcissist, but not every narcissist narcissist is a sociopath. Okay?
Yeah.
So, and there's narcissistic personality disorder, and then there's narcissistic tendencies. So, you know, there's a rainbow here. The problem, I think, with the court system, and I've been involved with a lot of people that have gone to court, you know, that's what I kind of do, is that the judges change. When the judges change, then you have a new judge that doesn't really know the scope here, right?
Yeah.
If you have the same judge who's dealing with it, the judge knows the lying because the person has been lying, the person has been petty. But, you know, so now the judge is like, I've had enough of you. But if the judges keep changing, that works for this person because now they can replead their case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come in. They come in presenting very well. So if whatever her game is, she's not going to stop.
Right.
Plus, you know, unless she hooks up with somebody and now her attention is somewhere else.
That'd be a dream.
That'd be a miracle for Tom. Yeah. Wait, I have a question about working with lawyers. Okay. I think a lot of, you know, listeners and people going through divorce, I want to know what it's like to work with lawyers and what are some of the situations that you would be called in to work with someone's lawyer, like some examples of that.
Okay, so I have not, I don't really like going to court. I've been fortunate and have not had to go to court. Okay, so attorneys will call me because they want, so there's a, they have a firm and they want their attorneys educated in difficult personalities, and I will go in. If you're dealing with somebody that has a personality disorder, you know that stack, Tom, that you just showed me, it's got to get 3 times its size because everything.
Well, it is.
Oh, the stack of papers has to be.
Because if you give that type of personality an inch or a quarter of an inch, they will blow it wide open.
Right.
Okay?
Attorneys, they're, you know, I always work with attorneys because they're thinking they can figure it out. And unless they've worked with somebody with a personality disorder, they're confused themselves. They're confused.
Right.
I worked with a couple. He was an actual sociopath.
Mm-hmm.
And terrible emotional abuse. It's the worst thing you could ever try to prove in court. It's very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
What worked for us was that he decided to represent himself. Judge knows, okay, what do I got going on, right? And the whole time, the judge's head was down and she was writing. Like this went on for days and days and days. And remember, when you put the spouse on the stand, it re-traumatizes them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now we're watching that, right? But at the end, he was found guilty of 10 counts of emotional abuse.
Mm-hmm.
That's not heard of. That is not heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the attorney was versed in that, because even when the spouse, who is the victim of the abuse, takes mm-hmm. psychological tests, they don't mm-hmm. do well. And they don't do well because they're traumatized.
Right.
It makes the other side say, see, she's crazy. No,
yeah.
she's not crazy. She's mm-hmm. traumatized. So in this case, it worked out. It worked out good for her. You know, she suffered a lot. He did keep 50% custody, but you know what? They can't maintain it. Because you know what? He didn't really want the kids.
Right.
Yeah.
He didn't want right. to have the kids. So now I don't know your situation, Tom. I don't know if she wants the kids or it's, I don't want you to have the kids.
That's right.
It's probably well, that. Yeah.
It's right. It's the second. And I, was this at a family court that the yes. judge had, oh, that's helpful.
And so, wow, the spouse had to go on the stand.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And you know, and what's so sad is, you know, like I said, if you had to put a child on the stand, because what happens is, you know, there was another case that, you know, that I was working with. And so the husband and wife, she wanted out and she said that he was, it was domestic violence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now there's certain things that come up that they, and she's very afraid of him. Well, they lived in an apartment building. And when she moved out of his apartment, their apartment, she moved two doors down. In an apartment building where he was the manager of the apartment building. Okay, yes. Lady, you're not afraid of him.
Right.
You're not afraid of him. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then she, but what she wanted to do is she wanted to take the kids out of California and bring them to New York, mm-hmm. where her was. And you know, you're not gonna be able to do that unless mm-hmm. you can get 100% custody. The only mm-hmm. way you get 100% custody is to prove that he beats them or sets them on mm-hmm. fire. And you know, and she just couldn't. So went and she lied about everything. You know, now attorneys and judges do know that whoever's coming into that courtroom, both sides are lying. They're I work with judges all the time. They know both of you are lying.
Mm-hmm.
So all they want to do is their North Star is the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whatever's in the best interest of the kids. And as far as finances, there's you know, you put the numbers in.
Mm-hmm.
They computerize the whole thing, and this is what you have to pay. This is what you get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so anybody, there's the 14%, right? Anybody that keeps this going, you know, is there's something wrong with you. What else, mm-hmm. like with your ex, what else does she want? Does she, I mean, is it the 18-inch skillet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or I just don't want you to move on with your life. So I'm going to mm-hmm. things in front of you that are going to mm-hmm. keep you so occupied that you're not going to be able to want a date. You're not mm-hmm. going to be able to want another person in your life. And that's my goal. So what do you think her goal is?
We have 21 cameras inside and outside the house here. The kids like, because she will show up and do stuff. And she seems to think she's invisible, because then we cut that together, because there's always a fear. Oh, she's going to accuse me of abusing the kids. She's going to accuse. So 24 hours a day, we're rolling. And when the police come, you go, oh, let's watch the tape. That's what we do. I think she wants, honest to God, by now, she has a life insurance policy that I pay for a couple million dollars. And she really wants to cash that in. I'm not, it was a joke 4 years ago, 3 years ago. But she really does. You know, she knows I've had a few health issues, as you do when you get
me. I'm going to give Tom a heart attack.
Yeah.
I can collect. I mean, look, we've all seen all the episodes of Snapped. It's not
fair.
I wanted to go back to, you mentioned emotional abuse. And I feel like that's something we haven't really covered yet. And I know, yes, it's very hard to prove. Can you please, for our listeners, give us some examples? Because a lot of times, I know for me, especially when I've been to therapy on and off for many years. And the first time my therapist was like, Monica, that is emotional abuse. And a lot of people don't know that they're being abused. So could you give us some examples?
Yeah. Anything, gaslighting is emotional abuse. Okay.
Yeah.
Blaming you for something that they did is emotional abuse. Whenever you're like confused, right, because of a story, that's emotional abuse. If you're, you know, you don't have to get hit to be abused, right? If somebody comes up and is screaming in your face, you're like, two, right here, right? That's abuse. That is verbal abuse. If somebody slams their hand down on the kitchen table, that is abuse. Anything that scares you is abuse. It's not just it's emotional abuse, intellectual abuse, verbal abuse, spiritual abuse. You know, get out of the bed. Or even in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock in the morning, they wake you up because they have to talk to you. That's abuse. You're not allowed to do that. You know,
right.
I 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, I was thinking of what you said at dinner and I don't like it. Like, you know, I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
That is.
You just conveniently want to start this fight right now.
Yeah. That is abuse. Locking you out of the house.
Oh, yeah.
Locking you out of the house. And that's where you live. That's abuse.
Yeah. That's the threatening. When you go through something like what I'm dealing with, you go back and go, because they always say, hey, remember when you guys were in love and it was good? And I realized, oh, it was never good. I had no self-esteem, apparently. I was, you know, I look at myself. It's my fault then. But you go through this stuff, and the waking up reminds me. She'd wake up at 3, wake me up and go, I'm going to go in there and tell our son, who's 3, we're getting a divorce. I go, please don't do it. But sometimes I couldn't get her before she woke the kids up. It goes, your dad and I are getting a divorce. We just want you to know. That to me, that's even worse than, but I think the idea of living under a threat, like I am going to ruin your career. I'm going to ruin your life. I'm going to do this, that, but most importantly, I'm going to take the kids away from you. You know, that constant, it takes you a while too. You don't realize it, in my opinion, at first. You're going through it. You're like, and then you get a little bit away from it. And this stuff still goes on, filing this, filing that, doing it, you know, and then you feel the trauma that from the post-traumatic stuff each time. And I told Monica this time when it happened, I said in the papers, I said, I'm going to try not to go there myself, where you get this fear of, you know, I am better. It is better. She doesn't live in the house, you know, to have that kind of access to me. But it's a real thing. And the kids feel it. I mean, how do they not? You know, she serves me in front of them. She does big demonstrative, you know, things, calls, you know. So I'm extra concerned about them. But I also have to keep going forward, go in there Tuesday, deal with it, put everything in sort of a linear thing. This time I am doing this. You know, who knows what to expect at family court. But, you know, you just got to try to make it end somehow.
So your question is a good question. What do? You cannot control her behavior. And in trying to control her behavior winds up controlling you. So you have to decide. I will either suffer or I will gain wisdom. You have to decide. Okay. Now, when you freak out, melt down, get upset, you have just served her. She loves that. She loves it. Okay. You sitting and, you know, whatever you want to do, God, do it, file, I'll show up again and again. You show no reaction. Don't react, because every time you react, you feed her.
We want
you to starve her so that she'll go and look for her source of food somewhere else.
Okay? That makes sense, especially when it's, you said something before, we try to figure out what the other person's thing was. Was it sort of controlling you, engaging with you, continuing the toxic? And I have worked very hard about being not responding. We only are supposed to communicate through this court app. And we used to have to see each other. But now the way the judges are setting up, there's no phone calls, no, see, you know, she's here, I'm here, bam. If we do are in the same place together in front of the kids, I'm always like pleasant. You know, because or you know, but it is trying to control me, and I, because of my personality, I'm fully capable of going down that hill, getting defensive, writing what I think is a funny response to her madness.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And that is, you know, there's been a couple times when those responses are the reason why she did not this other scene. It's like, look how he responded to me about whatever. And so one judge told me, everything you put in writing to her, you assume your kids are going to read it back to you in the future in public. And so I really do before I, you know, I mean, I respond as little as possible. I don't try to be funny or anything. So that has gotten better, my end of it, which is all I could do. And it's what I need to work on the most, you know, for the kids and for myself. So you're right about it.
So what you're doing is you're not co-parenting, you're parallel parenting.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
The other thing is when you're dealing with these personalities, they want you to write a lot. They want you to write a lot because they'll look and they'll pick out something.
That's like a clickbait.
Yep. That's what they'll focus on. And, you know, after a while, you don't even know what you're arguing about anymore because it's called circular arguments. You're going around and around and around. With these people, it's one word responses. When I was divorcing my ex, I became such a businesswoman that he was like, your emails are so cold. he didn't know where to go in because he didn't see the vulnerability, because now I was a businesswoman and my responses would be one word or five words. They were never more than one sentence with five or six words in the sentence.
And no emotion.
You have to have no emotion. She's feeding, you know, it's the energy vampire. I'm feeding off of you. She knows that in the 11th hour, by calling the police and doing this, you're going to get upset. So now, how do I not get upset, right? Because you're you have to look at her. And I used to say this, I forgive you because you're human and flawed.
Mm-hmm.
And it relaxed me because she can't change. So it's almost like looking at a person in a wheelchair and going, why won't you stand up?
Right.
If you love these kids, you'd be able to stand up. Yeah. Why aren't you still, you know, they can't. And I will give you another trick too. You have to go to court. You said you're going back to court?
Yeah, Susie.
Okay. Before you get out of your car, visualize how you want that to go. What do you want to hear? How do you want it to go? Sit in the car, get relaxed, close your eyes, visualize how you want to walk out of that courtroom.
Feel it.
Okay. Yeah. And release the energy release it into the universe going, this is how I want to feel. And then go into the courtroom. Because what you're doing then is you're walking in with that energy. Right. And that's how you're presenting yourself. Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So look at anybody. You don't have to look at her. You don't have to.
Acting exercise.
Mm-hmm. And you're an actor.
Yeah.
I know everybody says,
you got this character, Tom. Yeah.
You can do it.
Any award.
You know, the thing that I want to tell you is this will be, my divorce happened, well, now you're going to figure out my age, 10 years ago. Okay, so it does end. And you know, you're trying to protect your kids because that's the biggest thing. What about my kids? First of all, do you have two? Are they two girls?
So
A boy and a girl.
boy 10, girl 8.
Okay. They're not going to want to have anything to do with you at 16 years old because you know they're going to be into their friends. And at 18 years old, they'll go to college or do something. You have to get your head like, what do I want to do the rest of my life? Because these kids are going to leave. And also, and a lot of parents don't like this when I say this, let them find out who their mother is.
You're right.
Yeah.
People would say that, and it's true. Eventually, it's true. And then you say, okay, now they know. I could tell by the way they respond to her, whatever. But then you feel bad because, okay, they know and they're going to have to
Okay.
live with that.
Okay,
But
but okay. Remember this, 60% of all marriages today end up in divorce. 60%.
it's
Okay.
more than 50 now. Oh boy.
Okay. Which means that they have a lot of other people in their world. Your children have a lot of other people, they have a lot of other children who are experiencing the same thing.
That's true. That's
Okay.
true. Very
Now,
true.
what now it's very difficult. It's difficult for children to have to do this monitoring back and forth. But let me tell you what, you know, if you do this correctly, right, they're going to learn how to read a room, right? They're going to be resilient. They're going to know that they don't have to be in a relationship that makes them feel bad about themselves. And I
Yes.
think that's the greatest gift. Parents that want to stay together because I want to stay together for the kids. No, they're living in a place where there's no love, right? And also, too, you know, it's unfortunate that she is doing things in front of the kids because the kids are learning how to treat other people, right? But if you're not, you know, they went, you know, my mother did all this, and my dad never said anything bad about her, right? Or they're watching, but. I think in a long run, they are stronger. They come out stronger. I think they come out more resilient. And they know that I don't have to live in pain. I don't have to stay someplace I don't want to be.
Kids,
Well,
you gotta.
Dr. Donna, can you elaborate for you were together through your kids being babies all the way to adulthood. Can you kind of share with us, I don't know if it's like gender roles or things that worked or didn't work in a marriage with the children dynamic. I mean, do you feel like you stayed for the children or do you think
No,
that had a factor at all?
I didn't stay for the children. He wasn't there a lot, which served me.
Oh, that's
As
nice.
a matter of fact, part of the reason why I got divorced was because I was living the life of a single woman without the benefits of being single. So I was like, you know, I'm out. You know, also too, there was a little cheating and infidelity there, but it, not to get into it. But it just be so I just want to say one thing before I jump to that. Kids experience the police coming to the house, or the kids experience mom doing something off the wall. There has to be a conversation with them because if you don't have a conversation with them, they're going to make up stories in their head, and you don't want that. You know, my son got divorced from his wife, and when that she was moving out, I got the three because I have like seven grandchildren under the age of 11. It's like a tribe over here. It's so crazy.
Love it.
And I took them, the three of them, and I said, okay, I know this is a scary day. Tell me what you're feeling, you know? And the middle one, Jack said, will mommy leave me like she's leaving daddy? Never think in a million years that that would be his concern. Never, right? I was just like, even me as a therapist, I was just like, I didn't expect that to come out of his mouth. So you have to have these conversations with them, but you're right. You don't stay on it for an hour. They're children. You know, it's because, you know, the wounded inner child and eudaimonia therapy is what my practice is all about, the wounded inner child, things that happened before the age of 8, right? There's stories that we tell ourselves that are not true. Mommy didn't pick me up because I'm not good. No, mommy was working and she forgot that you had half a day and that's why she didn't show up. Okay, but she loved you. Okay. And that's why I tell parents, you always have to tell them what happened, or they're going to blame themselves, right? They're going to stop loving you. They're going to stop loving themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I've learned about being a parent, and I've always learned, I mean, I try to learn, I can't, is that I don't assume I know what's going on with them by the way their reaction is or what that's really about. And it takes time to really talk it through and to get them to eventually share what's on their mind, whatever. And it's been very, you know, enlightening. It's way, very interesting, but I used to go, okay, I know why she's mad. I know why he's mad. I know why they're doing this or acting out. And mm-hmm. and then you get below the surface. And especially with my son, who I assume was just like me. I assume that when I was his age, I know everything because that's what I was like. But it's not. And so you can get that out. It makes me be a better parent, more aware of, you know, if I'm doing something or but just don't assume, you know, because there's so much going on with these kids, you know.
I think it's even some parents think that if they're not talking about it, they're not thinking about it. That is not true.
That's true.
They're
not talking about it doesn't mean that they're not thinking about it. They are. They just don't want to get you upset. Yeah. They don't verbalize it. Okay. So, Monica, you were saying agenda. What was that question?
Oh, well, I wanted to know about when you got married, kind of like, because I love that you still completed school. You had three kids. You know, I just wanted to touch on, like, what were the gender roles like? And then was he always traveling? You know, did you?
Yeah. Well, okay, so, you know.
How did you make it last 35 years?
I know, right? Well, because, you know, people that have narcissistic personality disorder have a muse, right? So if he's with somebody who is successful, right, he must be really great. So he did not stop me from doing anything. And by the way, when he did consult with an attorney, and the attorney said, well, you can tap into her income because I'm a private practice. You can tap into her income because you sent her to school. And he said, no, she paid for her own schooling.
Mm-hmm.
And so was like, oh my God, I don't know what to do with you because, you know, she took care of everything. So he wasn't around a lot. I did love him. I was in love with him. I knew him from when I was 15 years old. So it's like going to war because like you're growing up with somebody. He was out a lot. And when he was in, I did a lot of, he would get into a lot of trouble and I always had to fix. I was the fixer.
Yeah. You
know? Okay.
So that was my job. I was going to fix everybody. I was going to, as a matter of fact, our children didn't know a lot of the things that he would do or his real personality. And when we got divorced and my children, who are now adults, to see their father, my daughter had come to me and said, I'm angry at you because you took my father away. I didn't take her father away. Her idea of her father was now blown up because now she got to really see who he was.
Mm-hmm. Which,
you know, okay. So that's really why it lasted. So, and also too, he and I were very good business partners. Right. Mm-hmm. There's something that keeps that relationship together. It's 35 years. Right. We were very good business partners. So when we were, you know, flipping houses and opening up businesses, we were a team and we were a good team.
Mm-hmm.
But, when I had the TV show and I came out here for the first time, I was like, wow, do you know, there's no chaos. There's no chaos. Mm-hmm. Everything is calm. I did not know I lived in chaos. Right.
Interesting.
I didn't know. And when I've asked a lot of divorced couples after everything has calmed down, I have said, are you, because I'm asked this question, will I be happier when this is done? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, I'm not sure if you're going to be happier, but you're going to be calmer. Mm-hmm. And I ask a lot of people who have come out of that situation. And I say, are you happier? And they say, I'm just calmer.
Yeah.
You know, well, happiness, striving for happiness. Happiness is a broken model, right? It really is. It's very confusing. If I give you a partner, the house, the kids, the car, the career, you're going to be happy. If I take any of those things away, you're going to be unhappy. So it's conditional. So in the therapy that I do, it's kind of like, let's find that state of well-being so that regardless what life shows you, you can stay calm and react accordingly.
Yeah, I want to get to eudaimonia, which I love every time you talk about it. But before that, I just want to ask, how do you feel like, what are couples, are we worse off than we were? Are you busier than ever?
Oh, I'm busier than ever. Well, look, we are in a mental health crisis, and that's since the pandemic, yes. And especially with the state of the world right now. I am really busy. And actually, I have therapists that I've trained in eudaimonia therapy, because in my program, you're coming into a program and you're committing to 5 sessions at a time, right? So, you know, you go into therapy, you don't know when it's going to end. You could be doing it for years and years. Mm-hmm. And in this therapy, you're having an objective conversation with a therapist, okay? And you're getting practical step-by-step tools to deal with whatever you're dealing with. Tom, just like I said to you, when you go in Tuesday, this is what I want you to do in the car. You're getting practical step-by-step methods and tools to deal with whatever is going on.
You talked about hypnotherapy. Do you do hypnotherapy for breakups and divorces, or is it more like helping people quit smoking?
Okay, so I do a lot of telehealth. So if I'm doing telehealth, I don't do hypnotherapy. So if they come to my home, then I can do the hypnotherapy. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hypnotize somebody who's dealing with what Tom just said. I want you to deal with it. Mm-hmm. I want you to understand how you get triggered. I want to know why you can't just walk in there and not look. Why do you feel you need to befriend everybody? Okay, because you stand in power when you don't. You know, this is a courtroom. It's not a basketball, you know, right? This is business. You've got to become, you know, business. So I do hypnotherapy for stress. I do, you know, you could do it for weight loss. You could do it for any kind of addiction. You can do it for self-esteem. You can do it for other things. But I really want you to deal with life with all the talent that you have. You have untapped energy, untapped strength, you know, that your wounded inner child is like, you're afraid, you know, if you were not afraid, and this is one of the things, I call it the post-it method, right? If you were not afraid, what would you do? Because there are no mistakes in life. You work with me, we throw the word mistake out. No mistake, just choices and consequences. If you were not afraid, Tom, what would you do?
You cannot be your best if you're living in fear. You're absolutely right. So I'm going to just be my best and hope that I try to make sure that this is the time that at least there are consequences on the other side. And so that's my goal. I'm prepared for it. You know, we're gonna do that. But I'm gonna really breathe and not be afraid and just think I gotta put on.
Like, give yourself an extra 20 minutes, because I feel like I know you well enough now, Tom. You're like rushing in, and then you won't have that time to yourself in the car.
Yeah. Well, I do, and you know, another thing I did very quickly. I sat in the back because they kind of have your name on a thing outside the courtroom. You're not 100% sure what time you're going up. And I sat in the back of the courtroom to hear other people fighting, and to have kids there and have people that were the therapists for the kids. And it was really interesting. And, you know, it's a little frightening situation, but a lot of people go through it, no matter where you are in life, socioeconomic, whatever. And it's kind of the same stuff over and over, but I did get to see how the judge deals with that. And so that's something for me to remember too, like specifically, you know, and so knock on wood, you know, it'll all be good.
Yeah. It's going to end. It will end. You know, just if you stay true to yourself, if you stay true to yourself and you are a good parent, this can't go wrong.
Yeah.
It's when we get afraid and we start, oh, well, maybe I'll do this or maybe I'll do that. Now we start trying to manipulate it. And you have to remember, too, that these judges, for the most part, are senior judges, right? Like, they're not, this is not their first rodeo, you know? So, you know, you have to trust yourself.
Yeah, I do. Well, thank you very much.
Is this on Tuesday, Tom? This coming Tuesday?
It is good morning, bright and early, 8:30.
All right.
All prepared for it.
I just want to say, don't prepare too much.
Right.
Don't. I would prefer if you relaxed. You know, you've been in this game. I don't think, like, you know what's going on. Relax. Don't prepare so much, because it makes you too tense.
Right.
I
I think you should visualize how you want it to go and then walk in and become the biggest business professional that you could be. Mm-hmm. Walk in like it's a business deal. And you know what? And this is what it is. And because I think there's panic in preparation.
Yeah.
There's panic. I think the best thing that you could do is relax,
mm-hmm.
look great, walk mm-hmm. in, and be the best professional business person you can.
I agree with that 1,000%. I think.
Dr. Donna, are you going to be doing any events anywhere soon?
I don't have any events planned. Right now, I have therapists that are contacting me who want to become eudaimonia clinicians. So I'm kind of putting that together. Mm-hmm. I do work with judges and attorneys. So if you know, because mm-hmm. I know they don't get training in these kinds of personalities. Mm-hmm. So I do that. And also too, for any of the listeners who cannot afford therapy, who are going through mm-hmm. divorces, I mean, they can go to my website at therealdrdonnad.com
mm-hmm.
and they can get, I have webinar number one, webinar number two, and it's all about how to step into your best life. And it talks to you about eudaimonia therapy and some of the methods and the tools, you know, mm-hmm. those two webinars, they're $39.99. You know what I mean? They're very affordable. If anybody wants to try eudaimonia therapy, mm-hmm. there's introduction to eudaimonia therapy. And all of these webinars are with me, and it gives you information, because I think the idea is we hold on too tight and we're like this. And the idea is relax. You're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, when it's all over, you're going to be better than fine.
Yeah.
Well, I love how you had mentioned on one of our emails about you do have a lot of people that come to you even when they're on the other side of divorce.
Yes.
And now they're kind of like, what do I do now? Or where do I go?
Yeah. And, you know, you ask for trends, you know, like what are the trends? You know, first of all, people come to me, the couple comes to me, they're splitting up, and every woman says he's a narcissist, and every man says he's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, going in just like that, you know, and it's often, well, it's not about them. You have to take the focus off of them and bring it, you know, to you. So those are those, that's one of the trends. The other thing is when you come out from the other side, I have, especially women with small children, they're like, I don't want a date. I don't want another relationship, because they're exhausted and they're tired. And I hear the men like, I don't want a date because I don't want the drama.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want the drama. And everybody is, you know, everybody is different. I mean, I brought my divorce papers to the courthouse, and that night I was at a restaurant at the bar, and I was like, woo, I am free. Right? You know, it was 35 years.
Yeah.
I was shackled for 35 years.
Divorce party with Dr. Donna.
Yeah.
You know, but then they didn't have like a divorce party. Like right. You know, but, and I think the thing is to be true to self, take it slow, you know, even if, you know, I do get women that are like, I can't wait to date because my relationship was so unloving that I want to experience that, you know, and my recommendation is like one step at a time, go for a cup of coffee, just go for a cup of coffee. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Right. You know, if you want to go online and start dating, that's up to you. Jeff pushed me into going. He couldn't wrap his hands around the fact that I was not hooked up. And I'm like, what is the problem with you? And
well, Tom knows.
So I did. I went online and I, you know, because I did. And then I would report back. And I would report back these crazy things that would happen. And I just am letting like the universe be my matchmaker, right?
Yeah, you're just going with the flow.
It's going with the flow.
And you're not trying to control the situation.
That's what I'm talking about. It's like, stop holding so tightly, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think we do. And also, too, I will tell you that men have reported that 50% of the women they find, 50 to 60% of the women they find on these dating sites are not who they represent. Like, their pictures are way off.
It's so true, but also the men too. When I was on the apps, I noticed there was a lot of hat fishing, Tom, which is where the men are bald, and so every hat is every picture is a hat, or there's pictures from 10 years ago.
But why did you give me your college picture?
Okay. Give me a break. It's like the women face tune, and then the men put like their varsity or like them shirtless, like against a car or something terrible.
You know, but I mean, I think it was great that I did that because I did, you know, I'm a researcher. I do a lot of research. So then I put Instagrams of flag on the play. You know, it's a flag. Do you, if I see you have no shirt on, okay, what are you telling me? You want a hookup, right? You know, women are like, oh, he has a plane. How do you know he has a plane? He's standing in front of a plane. How do you know it's his plane? Like, come on. But I think it's both sides. It's, you know, it's men and women.
Yeah.
The idea is there is no specific steps. You have to just like what makes you feel okay, you know, just what makes you. I always went out thinking I'm going to meet somebody and I want to see how's your journey going? So there is no like, oh, this is going to be my next husband. This, you know, no, like it's kind of just like, you know, just let it relax.
Yeah.
Relax.
And I feel like within 5 minutes of meeting someone in person, I feel like I'm pretty intuitive. I can tell if I like someone's energy or not.
Mm-hmm. Right away. But also too, I will say, you know, we have what we call older love. You know, people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. I mean, I have women in their 70s who's dating and they're having like a great time. I'm like, whoa, this is great news. This is great news. So, and I think it's a calmer kind of situation. I think women in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, it's a little bit more, you know, you've got more time to go. So you look a little bit more serious, you know, So everybody is at a different place. Like I said, everybody's at a different place. And I think just everybody needs to relax.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Dr. Don, I have to say, thank you. Thank you for taking the time with us today. But number two, since you talked about how old you were when you got married, how long your marriage was, and how long it's been since your divorce. And I'm doing the numbers in my head. I'm like, there's no way that she's close to my age. You look, you are sharp. You're sharp mentally. You're very sharp. And it gives me hope. I'm 65, but I see you and it took, my mind was like totally up the whole time. Like, that can't be right. That can't be right. So.
But I think it's a testament or whatever to how you choose to live your life. Absolutely. How you take care of yourself and your own mental awareness and health and all of that.
Yeah.
You
know,
you're glowing.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate that. Thank
you. Because you released all the negative stuff. And this is, you know, like you say, you can't let that, you know, you have to live without fear. You have to do this. And if this is what I look like, I'm in. I'm getting it together.
And, like I said, it will be over. And also, you know, you have to think about, you know, your kids, they're going to, even Monica, these kids are going to go. Trust me, they're going to college. They're really not going to want to see you. And you have to decide, well, what do I want to do the rest of my life? You know, you know, you have two little kids. Like I said, I have seven grandchildren under the age of 11 that are here all the time. You know, so I think that too, I think having kids is great because it kind of keeps you alive. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
You know, you just, like I said, you have to know this will be over. You know, this part will, and you have to ask yourself, do I want to suffer or do I want to become wise?
Yeah, there you go.
You make that choice every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Donna. And I'll put all your contacts in the show notes for people to go to your website.
Okay, great. Okay.
Have a great day. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.